Amen. Thank you for that special. Aren't you thankful for His love for us? Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, as we continue our study, Life in the Sun. And today we want to learn about grasping wisdom and the fear of God. Are you ready to get into the Word today? Amen. All right, ready or not, here we go. If you would, please stand with me. We haven't done this in a minute, but we've got a lengthy reading today, and I want to make sure that you don't fall asleep on your feet. So, I'm going to read a verse, and then you're going to read the next verse all together with me, all right? Everybody with me? Man, this is not going to go well, is it? Okay, so I'm going to read verse 11 by myself. We'll read verse 12 together. I'll read verse 13 by myself. We'll read verse 14 together. Everybody understand? You could like nod your head or something, please. Goodness gracious. Y'all are acting like it's Monday morning. People, it's Sunday. The Lord's house. Ready to go. All right. You ready? All right, here we go. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find out? I applied mine heart to know, and to search, and to seek out wisdom, and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Who pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to open the Word of God, to look into the Scriptures, Father, to find your truth. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would move among us today. You'd convict hearts. I pray anyone who is hearing this message today, either here or online, if they've never been born again, I pray today would be the day they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in Jesus with all their heart and pray and be saved today, that today they would repent and receive the gift of eternal life. I pray for others who need to make decisions for you, Lord, to be baptized or to join with this local church or to get some things right with you. Father, whatever it is, I pray today that you would help us to grab hold of wisdom and the fear of God and never let it go. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. We thank you for this time. We pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank you for helping me read through that today. I know it was a long reading, but hey, nothing more important that we do here today than look to the Word of God, is there? This is the culmination of our worship. I think in our culture today, we've made worship in churches is all about the singing. And singing is good. Worshiping is good, and it's vital. It's important. But we haven't really worshiped God unless we've had the preaching of the Word of God. It's preeminent. It's got to be the main thing, is the Word of God, because that's how He works in our lives. So I thank you for helping me read through that. And today we're going to really focus in on the principle of verse 18. If you'd look at that with me one more time, verse 18, he says, "It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." And I think if you'll look at this, you'll notice that he is talking about wisdom, and he says it's really good that you get a hold of this, that you take hold of it, that you grasp it today. And then he says, "Also from this withdraw not thy hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." And God wants us to get a hold of wisdom and the fear of God, and he wants us to not let go. Amen. Do you see? He says, take hold. And then he says, withdraw not thy hand. Now, it's important for us to start well. There's got to come a place where you begin by repenting of your sin and unbelief and putting your faith in Jesus. That's where we all start. Somebody say amen. It's where we all start. But then there are so many people who start well, and like we've been studying in our Sunday school class, there are very few who finish well. But we ought to have the heart of the Apostle Paul. He says, I want to finish my course with joy. And when he came to the end of his life, when they were about to literally take his head for the gospel's sake, he said, I have finished my course. So we have to have this desire that says, I want to finish well, and we got to keep running the race. So we got to take hold of wisdom and not let it go. It's said that Charles Spurgeon told the story one time in a sermon about a bargeman and a collier. Now, the bargeman, obviously the guy who ran the barge, the collier was a coal miner, and they were probably hauling a load of coal across a river, but it was not far from some rapids and a waterfall. And as they were going towards across the river there, they lost control and both ended up into the rapids. Well, somebody from the side of the shore threw a rope, and the collier was able to grab a hold of the rope and be pulled safely to shore. Somebody threw a rope to the bargeman, but at the same time the rope came, a log floated by, and in his panic, he grabbed a hold of the log instead of grabbing a hold of the rope. And he was never seen again. Listen to me, friends. God has thrown out wisdom to us. He's thrown it out in front of us, and he's thrown out the fear of God in front of us. And too many times, we're grabbing a hold of logs that will do nothing but drag us to our destruction. And everything that's in our flesh leads to destruction. Everything that's in this world that is not of faith, it's sin, and it leads us to destruction. Every temptation that Satan puts in front of you is a snare. It's a trap, and it will lead you to destruction. And we've got to have enough wisdom today to understand that we need help. We cannot save ourselves. We've got to have enough wisdom today to know that God is putting his wisdom right out here in front of us. And there are other things that you could grab a hold of today. There's the world's philosophies. There's popular opinion. There's what Hollywood wants you to believe. There's what even our own government wants you to believe. And then there is the truth of the Word of God, his wisdom. So grab hold of wisdom today and don't let it go. There are a lot of people in the world today who are well-meaning, who think that they're giving you truth, but if their version of truth isn't from the Word of God, it's not truth at all. It's a lie. It's a lie. And we need the truth of the Word of God. Wisdom and the fear of the Lord are what we need to get a hold of today. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." If you ever want to have wisdom, you're going to have to start with a healthy fear of God. Amen. A fear of God. A reverence, a respect, an awe even, at how awesome and powerful God is. The Bible describes God as being terrible and awesome in power, but also just a fear. Just a fear, because he's God and we're people. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Amen. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And listen, don't be foolish today. We can be. We can be foolish. We can be foolish sitting in church listening to the Word of God. We can be foolish. We can despise it. What's that mean? It means that we reject it, that we don't listen to what God has to say. And I'm not up here this morning asking you to take my word for it, but I plead with you to take God's word for it. Amen. Take God's word for it. How do we get a hold of wisdom? He says, "It's good that thou shouldest take hold of this, yea, also from this, withdraw not thy hand, for he that feareth God shall come forth of them all." How do we take hold of wisdom and the fear of God? How do we take hold of it and not let it go? First of all, we have to understand the value of wisdom. We have to understand the value of wisdom. I'd like to ask you to do this. Take your Bible and turn back just not so many pages, I'm sure, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And when you find Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to go down to verse 13 with me. And we're going to look at several verses here because it's important for us to understand the value of wisdom. In our text, you guys help me read, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there's profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense," right? Money is a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So wisdom is exceedingly valuable. How valuable is it? Well, we need to understand how valuable it is so that we can have a desire to grab a hold of it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding." Quick poll. How many of you would like to be happy? Did you see your hands? No, go ahead. So the rest of you that aren't raising your hand, you don't want to be happy. All right. I thought there were you kind of people out there that just like enjoy being miserable, right? I don't know about you, but I want to be happy. I don't want to be miserable. Every once in a while, my family is kind enough to let me know when I'm not acting very happy. They're there for me to let me know when I'm being kind of grumpy. They say things like, "What is wrong with you?" Right? Do you have family that loves you enough to ask you that? Every day. Listen, sometimes I'm not happy, but I don't like that. I don't like being grumpy. I don't like being short. I don't like losing my joy. I want to have joy in my life. And God's word is clear. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Why? Look at verse 14. "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Wisdom is incredibly valuable. Now, let's be honest today. How many of you would like to have some silver? How many of you would like to have some gold? Not just gold, fine gold. There are people who are killing themselves in the Klondike, in Alaska, in different places, the Bering Strait. They are killing themselves to find gold. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen some of that, but these people are crazy. And they're looking to get this much gold. They got this little vial. It's like this big. And they're like doing backflips because they found a tiny little speck of gold. Why? Because gold is incredibly valuable. I don't know what the last time I looked, it was about $1,600 an ounce. Now, if you're like me, you don't really know what an ounce is. You got to go get something to measure it out. But I'm just telling you, an ounce is not very much. $1,600 an ounce. Precious, precious rubies. I'm not picky. Sapphires, emeralds, diamonds. I mean, who wouldn't want to just have a handful of precious jewels? Anybody? Some of you can imagine it with me right now, just a box full, just running your hands through it. Gets you a little bit excited? I mean, that doesn't get you. Okay, how about this? All the things thou canst desire. How about that? How about all the things that you could imagine that you want? All the things that you could dream of? All of the things that you could possibly just, hey, daydream for just a second. I hate to do this because some of you will never come back for the rest of the message. But just imagine, and everybody's different. I mean, some of you want 1,000,000 acres in the mountains in Colorado. Sounds good, okay? I mean, some of you don't want 1,000,000 acres, but just big enough where nobody can find you. Right? Some of you want houses, some of you want land, some of you want cars, some of us want airplanes, some of you want motorcycles, some of you want all of these different things. All the things that you can desire are not to be compared to wisdom. All of the money in the world, all the wealth in the world without wisdom is worthless. But God has offered you wisdom. Listen, you're probably never going to have lots and lots of gold. Now, if you ever do get lots and lots of gold, don't forget to tithe and give your offerings, okay? I'm just saying. We want to be faithful in our giving, people. Most of us are probably never going to have all the land and all the things that we could possibly desire, but you can have wisdom. You can grab a hold of it and never let it go. It's more valuable than you understand. And some of you are like, I don't know, preacher, I don't know that really wisdom's more valuable than anything I can desire. You don't have to take my word for it. God said so. It's true. It's more valuable than anything you could desire. Look at it. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. How about that? If you get wisdom, you get length of days. You can get riches and honor. If you get wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness. And listen, her paths are peace. Who doesn't want to have a peaceful and happy life? And it doesn't come from money. Hey, listen to me. The American dream is an American deception. It's a lie. It's a lie. And the reality is most of us have bought into it at least to some degree. We think that if we had more money to have more things, then we would be happy. But it will not make you happy. The wisdom of God will give you peace and satisfaction that things cannot get you. The real sad thing is most of us aren't living the American dream. We're crediting ourselves to the American dream. We're saddling ourselves with debt. We are indebting ourselves for the American dream. And it just makes the lie even worse. Wisdom is valuable. If you want to grab a hold of wisdom, first of all, you got to understand how valuable it is. Back in our text in verse 18, it is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Verse 19 says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Wisdom is full of honor. Wisdom is full of strength. Wisdom is incredibly valuable, and we need to get a hold of it. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. What's that mean? It means it overcomes everything. It's better than everything. You look at people who are righteous in themselves. You look at people who are wicked. And he says, listen, if you fear God, that's how you overcome it all. Self-righteousness, wickedness, it all is overcome by wisdom. Not only do we need to understand the value of wisdom, number two, consider the work of God. Consider the work of God. I want you to look back at our text of verse 13. He says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Listen, we need to learn to consider the work of God. I think that starts with creation. If you carried on there in Proverbs chapter 3 where we were, you'd find that it's by wisdom that God created everything. He created everything in his wisdom. We live in a society today that has abandoned the knowledge or acknowledgement of God. Romans 1 talks about it. They've suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness. They have not liked to retain God in their knowledge. What does that mean? Well, it means God put the knowledge of himself in them, but they don't like to retain the knowledge of him, so they've tried to put the knowledge of him out of their minds. But God has revealed himself through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Listen, when we look at the creation around us today, we see the work of God, and we need to consider the work of God. Amen. How's that going to help us get a hold of wisdom? Well, listen, if you go out tonight and look up at the stars and you see all of the billions of galaxies that are out there, you see those stars and planets and all the things that you can see. By the way, if you get to a dark enough place and look to the south, you might even be able to make out the Milky Way really well right now. You can look at the handiwork of God and you see when you consider the work of God, you understand how much we need the wisdom of God. Amen. See, when you consider God's work, you realize how small you are. That he's bigger than we can imagine. You consider his work in creation. How about considering his work in salvation? Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you saved? Are you saved? When was the last time you considered the lengths that God went to save you? When was the last time you considered the work of God in saving your soul, the work of Christ to come to this earth and be clothed in humanity, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? It was the last time you considered that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and became a man. That he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That he became sin who knew no sin. That when they had beaten him, when they had spit on him, when they had mocked him and ridiculed him, when they had nailed him to that old rugged cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Consider the work of God, not just his work in creation, but consider his work in salvation, because, friends, there is no other way for you to be saved than through faith in what Jesus did for you. He paid the price. He's the one who gave his life to pay for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He laid down his life and he took it up again. Consider his work in salvation. Consider his work in your situations. I want you to look at verses, there at verses 13 and 14 and 15, we read in verse 14, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. Hey, listen, there are going to be some days when things go good. And you ought to rejoice when things are good. There are going to be some days when things are not so good. There's going to be some adversity. But in that adversity, what do? Do you despair? Do you get depressed? Do you quit? Do you stop walking with God? Do you quit church? Do you walk away from your faith? Do you get angry with God? Do you question him? Do you lash out against him? Do you try to play the blame game? Find somebody to put at fault? God's word says in the day of adversity, consider. Consider. What is it that we need to consider? That God's in control. Amen. That God's sovereign. Hey, listen, when you have prosperity, God did that. Rejoice. But when God brings adversity, guess what? He did that too. So you need to think about it. Why is God bringing this adversity? And it may be that you're suffering adversity because you've sinned against God. How many of you have ever said everything happens for a reason? Anybody ever said that? Yeah. It's true. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason bad things happen to you is because you did something dumb. You're just facing the consequences of poor decisions. Sometimes bad things happen because you did something good. Sometimes you're not suffering because you've done evil, but you're suffering because you've done what's right. And sometimes you're suffering just because. You see, I don't believe it's a wrong thing to ask God why. Why is this happening? I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's okay to do that. I just think that you may not be happy with the answer. Why? Why did Job lose everything he had? Why did his children die? Why did he lose his health? Is it because he had sinned against God? No. Was it because he was so righteous that he was facing persecution? It was to prove, to test his integrity. It was for the glory of God. Why was the man born blind? For the glory of God. Why did Lazarus die? For the glory of God. We need to consider the work of God in our circumstances, in creation, in salvation, and in the situations of life. We need to understand the value of wisdom. We need to consider the work of God. And if we're going to get a hold of wisdom, we need to be real. We need to be real. Verse 16 says, "Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Verses 16 and 17 are really interesting verses to me, but I want you to get this. In verse 16, he's talking about self-righteousness. He's saying, don't be better than you really are. What does that mean? Don't be self-righteous. Don't think yourself better than you actually are. You need to be real about who you are in Christ. And then in verse 17, he says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Listen, there are some people, listen, we all fall into sin, but there are some people who run into sin, amen, who live for sin. And God is not going to put up with that in your life. Amen. So be real. Be real. We've got to be honest with ourselves, and we got to be honest before God. I'm always amazed at how quickly we try to justify our sin, or we try to make it okay, or we try to kind of, I don't know, hide, pretend like things are different than they actually are. Let me ask you this. Did any of you ever get away with anything with your parents? Like, you did something you shouldn't, and you got away with it. Anybody? You can put your hands up, Mike. They're not behind you. It's okay. I kind of want you to put your hands back up again. I didn't get to see who put their hand up. Some of you got away with more. Some of you got away with less. Some of you probably got in trouble for something you didn't actually do, but it probably all came out in the wash. Right? Yeah. You might have got something over on mom and dad, but you've never gotten anything over on God. It's foolish for us to pretend with God. And if you're going to be wise, you're going to have to get real. Not only do we have to be real, but we have to fear God. Verse 18, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. In Proverbs 15:33, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. When we fear God, we're going to be humble before God. When Isaiah saw God in his throne room, high and lifted up, when he saw his train fill the temple, when he saw the angels and heard them crying back and forth, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, he fell down on his face. When you see the awesomeness of God, when you see the power of God, when you see the glory of God, your response can only be one thing, and that's to bow down in humility before the creator of the universe. He is the Lord of glory, and we've got to bow before him. When you see him, you will fear him. When you fear him, you'll come before him in humility. And the awesome thing about God that is beyond my understanding is that when you humble yourself in the sight of God, he will lift you up. When you lower yourself, he picks you up. And so we've got to learn to fear before God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 11 through 13 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Hey, side note, is that not a picture of our justice system today? People are emboldened to sin because judgment is not executed speedily. When you break the law needs to be carried out quickly. Justice needs to be served quickly. Because if it's not, people are emboldened to sin. And sometimes when we sin against God, his long-suffering and mercy postpones the consequences, and we are emboldened to sin more instead of being brokenhearted over the fact that we've sinned. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Amen. Hey, when you see people that have completely turned against God, do you not tremble inside? You all know that I believe firmly abortion should be abolished. I'm thankful for those who have stood and spoken out boldly for decades against this Holocaust. There are a lot of people who liken what's happening with abortion today to the fight against slavery years ago in our country. And there were people, legislators and people in our society, who didn't want to abolish slavery. They just wanted to regulate it. But let me ask you a question. Was that the right thing to do? Regulate slavery? Or was it right to abolish it altogether? We have legislators and people in our country today who don't want to abolish abortion. They just want to continue to regulate it. Listen to me. I want you to understand this. When you regulate abortion, all you're doing is saying that it's okay to kill some babies, but it's not okay to kill other babies. That's what regulations do. That's what pro-life laws do. They continue to maintain that it's okay to kill some babies, but it's not okay to kill any babies. Amen. It's not okay to murder anybody, whether they're in the womb or whether they're 100 years old. It's not okay to take people's lives. Amen. It's not okay. We've got to get it in our heart that says abortion is murder, always, across the board. But I got to tell you that I tremble. It makes me sick to my stomach because I watch a lot of these videos where people are protesting against abortion and they're standing up, but there are counter-protesters who support abortion. They're not just pro-choice, they're pro-abortion. There are couples in the United States of America today who get pregnant just so they can abort their baby. And they do it over and over and over again. There are people who celebrate the murder of babies, and you need to hear me. It's not just a pro-choice thing. It's not just a tired old arguments. What about rape and incest? There are people who love it. They think it's the greatest thing in the world, and they'll get pregnant just so they can murder their baby. And my heart trembles for them because the wrath of God is on them. And unless they repent and turn to Christ, they will burn. Amen. And that's one example of millions of people who have hardened their heart against the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will not hear the truth. And friend, my heart trembles for them because they may prolong for a little while. They may last for a little while, but one day they'll kneel before Jesus. And their name will not be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they will be cast to the lake of fire forever and ever. And I tremble for them. And they ought to tremble for themselves. Amen. And if you have anything in your heart that is emboldened against the God of heaven, if there's anything in your heart that does not fear or tremble before Him, friend, today you need to repent. Amen. You need to fall on your face and plead for His mercy, because His mercy endures forever. And He has love and forgiveness for anyone who will come to Him by faith. Amen. But if you reject Him, His wrath will fall on you. Fear God. Amen. If we're going to grab hold of wisdom, very simply, can I say we need to seek wisdom? We need to seek wisdom. We've read it over and over. Proverbs 9:10 says it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 is speaking to me. Is it speaking to you? If any of you lack wisdom, hey, anybody else lacking wisdom? He gives the formula right here. You ready? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Amen. You remember who wrote Ecclesiastes? Remember? How did Solomon get his wisdom? He asked for it. Amen. Now listen, God came to him in a dream. He came to him in a vision, and he said, I'll give you whatever you want. And that young king said, I need wisdom. Amen. I don't even know how to go in and come out. I don't even know how to act like a king. I don't even know how to pretend to be a king. I need your help to lead your great people. Because he asked for wisdom, God gave him that abundantly and so much more. But how did Solomon get wisdom? Because he asked for it. Now you say, well, God hasn't come to me in any dreams or visions. That's right. Because you have something better. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the living word of God right here in the Bible. And God says, if you lack wisdom, then ask for it. But ask in faith. Fear God, seek wisdom. And lastly, let me say this. If you want wisdom, you have to first be saved. You see, wisdom comes from God. Wisdom is a spiritual gift. The things of God are understood spiritually. They're spiritually discerned. And you cannot have wisdom without the Spirit of God living in you. You cannot have wisdom without first being saved. Did you notice what he said in verse 20? There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is no one who can be justified in the sight of God on our own. You can't be good enough to save yourself. You can't do enough good to make up for the wrong that you have done. You must be saved. Look at verse 27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. Hey, this ought to get your attention, some of you. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Hey, verse 28 might stick a little, ruffle the feathers a little. This is 2020 in the United States of America. What do you mean? He found one righteous man out of a thousand, but he hasn't found any righteous women. Anybody offended by that? Anybody upset by that? What's he saying? You know, I like to study and read what the scholars have to say and the commentators have to say. And I'll just be honest with you. If you look this verse up in any commentary, you're probably going to see some guys kind of fumbling a little. But what do I do with this? Some people would say, well, Solomon's just saying in his own experience. Like, he's just being literal. Like, I have searched and, you know, about one out of a thousand guys I can find that are kind of righteous, but none of these women. A lot of people want to say he's talking about specifically the wives and concubines that he had in his life. Like, listen, I've tried a thousand and none of them are right. I would not even begin to wade into the waters of all that this could mean. But I'll say this. There is none righteous. No, not one. Amen. Among those born among women, there's only one righteous one. And I can't help but think that in this poetical nature, this is a poetic book. Solomon's not talking about literal people that he's looked at. I believe he's pointing to Christ. There's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's only one righteous one. And his name is Jesus. Lo, this only have I found in verse 29, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. When God made man, he made him upright. He made him righteous. He made him just. He made mankind good. But mankind sinned against God. And we stand in need of a Savior. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. There's not one righteous. And if you want wisdom, you must be saved. God made us upright, but we sinned against God. We turned away from Him, and we need wisdom to be saved. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. If you want to get a hold of wisdom today, you're going to have to be real and to be honest with yourself and with God. You're going to have to fear God. You're going to have to understand that His wrath abides on you unless you come to Him by faith. You're going to have to seek wisdom by prayer, and you're going to have to be saved. This morning, we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. While they're coming, will you stand with me? The Bible says that wisdom cries aloud in the streets. God is throwing the rope of wisdom in front of you today. He's throwing it in front of you, and all you have to do is grab a hold of it and not let go. Grab a hold of wisdom. Grab hold of the fear of God. Take hold and don't withdraw your hand. Don't let go. If you've never been saved, today He's throwing the wisdom in front of you to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're saved, he's throwing the wisdom in front of you to live for him, for his kingdom, and for his glory. If he's convicting your heart about any decision that you need to make today, I pray that you'll be obedient to the Spirit as he moves in your heart today. Make the decisions he's calling you to make while we sing.